full of rich soil and regal trees, and surrounded by nothing more difficult to navigate than calm waters and gentle, rolling hills. They enjoyed cool summers and mild winters, good fishing, and the sweetest oysters Taliesin had ever eaten. It was not hard to see why the Danes wanted it. When spring came, Taliesin began to hear something other than the sounds of the forest, a song, drifting faintly upon the winds. Day and night, it haunted him. Sometimes it came when he listened for it, and sometimes it came unbidden. It sounded different by moonlight than by sunlight, and it made him both smile and weep. He grew to know the song by heart. He sang it often, until his fingers knew its melody intimately upon his harp, feeling their way into its promise. He was humming it softly one day while gazing into the breezing Ammon, when something new stirred within the amber. The stone responded to the song, pulling him inward, each phrase leading him deeper within the worlds it held, until a willow tree appeared. She stood on a silent bank, veiled by soft mist. Deer grazed nearby. They looked up and met his eyes as if they knew he was watching them. The world of the willow called to his soul, and he ached for it, the same way he had ached for the oak as a small boy. Soon, he promised the willow, one day, very soon I'll come, but not today. He knew when he left, he would likely never return. He could not do that without saying farewell to Arianna. One morning, when Arianna stopped to visit, Taliesin told her about the song and the world of the willow. You saw all of that within the breezing Ammon? Yes. She looked at the stone with envy. Can I try again? Taliesin took the pendant from around his neck and held it out. She held it between her thumb and forefinger and gazed into it with hopeful eyes. After 10 minutes, she heaved a sigh of disappointment and handed it back. I see nothing. She stared at the stone with longing and shook her head. The place you described sounds so beautiful. I wish I could see it.
I wish you could too.
He had shared the secret of the breezing Ammon with Arianna soon after discovering it, fully expecting her to be able to see what he could. At his suggestion, she had tried scrying into the stone many times, but sadly, never saw anything within its depths except its tiny ancient bubbles. One day she gave up. Maybe it only works for those it wants to, she reasoned. She had taken it from around her neck and handed it to him. The moment Taliesin touched it, it jumped to life, glowing like a hot coal. Fiery colours danced inside it, threads of them reaching out into the air like the tentacles of a jellyfish. She'd been so envious, it had made him feel terrible. He turned the stone over and over in his hands now, thinking about how hard it must have been for her to give it up. The pendant had always been her most prized possession. He would never forget the afternoon it fell from her neck while they were out riding. He'd never seen her so distraught. He and Gareth had helped her search the meadow for hours until they found it. He reached over and took her hand. I want to show you something. As he had done before with Lucia, he used the breezing Ammon to show her how the ash was connected to the oak, transporting them to the sacred grove. After the forest solidified around them, Arianna whispered, Are we really here?
Yes, we're here.
Arianna took her hand from her knee and touched the ground, digging her fingers into the soil beside her. No, it can't be.
You could stay if you wanted.
No. Arianna jerked her hand away from the soil. I'm frightened. What if we can't get back again? I don't like this. Please, take me back. Taliesin had not considered the possibility that they might not be able to return. Not wanting to risk it, he focused his efforts on getting them back to the ash. When they had safely arrived, Arianna sat beside him in silence, in awe of what had just happened. So, now you know. If ever you want to go home, you can use the ash to get to the sacred grove. He looked her in the eyes, took her hand.